today as we come to the table.
Like a soldier to a commander, it doesn't matter whether you like the commander or not. You're still subject to them to obey them. Now, think about that. What if you showed up at boot camp and the first day you got there, you said, you know what? I don't think I'm really going to do what you say. You know, you didn't impress me that much. What kind of day you think that new recruit's going to have? And what kind of 6 weeks you think he's going to have training? He's going to get raked over the coals. The bottom line is that whether you like your commander or not, you're to come under that authority. And so whatever commander God gives us, from the commander-in-chief all the way down to the mayor of Knox County, to the city commission, whatever authorities God gives us, God says this, be submissive to those authorities.
Seems like everyone wants to be a rebel today. When it comes to their jobs, people want to have their ways of doing things and be original. When it comes to politics, everyone believes that they're right. Often, this can lead to disregarding or bad-mouthing authority. Today, Pastor Mark challenges this approach. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, you'll be challenged to respect and follow those who have been placed in positions of authority over you. Now, don't act against God's word, but when you can keep the peace by respecting authority, the world will notice. They'll notice your commitment to the Lord and what the love of Christ looks like. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Titus, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Open up to Titus chapter 3. Going to be looking at verses, I was hoping 1 through 7, but it's going to be 1 through 3. I found that out at the first service. But we're going to read the first 7 verses anyway. Matter of fact, I'm going to read the first 8 verses because that gives such a good foundation, and then we'll do this over a couple of weeks. But notice what he says there. Let's pray first, then we'll jump into it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're the one controlling all things. Father, I pray that you would just continue to protect our world and our nation and our state. From any and all diseases and viruses, Lord, that might be coming through in the days in which we live. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as your church have a proper perspective, Lord, to remember that you've promised that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That's a beautiful thing, especially, Lord, when we see others around us not having that peace that you give your family. And God, for those of your family that are not receiving it, I pray that this morning they'd receive that comfort of your spirit. But now, Lord, as we get into these Christian reminders, Lord, as Paul is encouraging Titus and how to minister to the church there in Crete, that you would also, Lord, encourage us. Your Holy Spirit is encouraging us and ministering to us here in Knoxville at Calvary Chapel. And so I pray you just open up your word to us, God, and that you would be our teacher. We look forward to what you're going to show us today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we saw Paul address how grace instructs the believer to reject what is wrong and to do what's right. This week, we're going to see Paul expand on that and really talk about what we're supposed to do as believers and how we're to conduct ourselves, not only in the church, but in our community. And he will use a list of reminders in order to make this point. So we'll see these reminders he brings up as we go through these verses over the next couple of weeks, showing that this was something they had been taught already in the past and known, but like all of us, they needed a regular refresher. I find the older I get, the more I need regular refreshers. You know, it's kind of like the memory, you know, kind of continues to kind of fight with us the older we get. And even when you're younger, I have to say, I don't rejoice when I see young people forget things, but I kind of go, good. You know, at least I know I'm not totally gone. One of my girls will go, I was going to say something, I forgot it. I'm like, yes, yes, it's not just me. Anyway, that's why Paul said in Philippians 3:1 that it's not tedious for him to repeat these things. Paul repeats things to the body of Christ. Why? We need to hear a regular reminder of these things. Peter said it also in one of his letters. He said, I'll continue to remind you of these things until I go to heaven. Basically, I put it in my own words. It's almost like the parents saying, I'm going to keep saying this over and over until you get it. Because we need to hear it a lot and we need to be reminded about it. And probably some of you this morning already, maybe in some of your anxieties, it may not have had anything to do with a traveling virus. It may have been some other anxiety in your life. And the fact that you just got that reminder that God's not given us a spirit of fear, you're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. I can rest. I can trust that he's in control. And so we need these reminders because we know, they know, Paul and Peter as well, and we know how forgetful we are. We need these constant reminders. You know, I put reminders in my phone oftentimes, and sometimes I'll put a reminder in my phone, but I won't kind of put enough information in there. I'm thinking, I'll put a word or two and I'll get it. You ever done that? I hope I'm not the only one, but I put a word or two and they're going, I'll get it. And then my phone gives me a reminder and I'm like, well, that's not gonna happen because I don't even know what I was talking about. And then I'll find out when somebody's mad or hurt later and just apologize. I don't know what else to do. I'm like, you know what? My phone told me, but I had no idea what it was saying because I didn't put enough information. Now I find myself writing whole sentences in the reminder line. It's like, it's getting bad. But it's like the physician who told his patient, he said, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, I do not treat amnesia cases. It'll sink in a minute. Anyway. Or the story about the city dweller who is visiting relatives on a farm. And he watched the farmer give a whistle and his dog herded the cattle into the corral. And then the dog, after he herded the cattle, and he latched the gate with his paw. He taught him to do that. And the man said, wow, that's some dog. What's her name? And the forgetful farmer thought for a minute and said, well, what do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem? He said, a rose. He went, that's it. And then the farmer turned to his wife and said, hey, Rose, what's the name of this dog? You know, it's easy to be forgetful. Things slip our mind and things that you think you would never forget. Now, if we forget things we think we would never forget because we've done them so much in routine, how much more the Word of God when we read it and we need to go back and be reminded of it? And that's what today's all about. The bottom line is we need to be reminded and that's what Paul's going to do today. So here we go, Christian reminders and Christian conduct. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, first of all to Titus, remind them, that'd be us, the church, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, and to speak evil of no one. Now, again, we'll just do the first verse there. I just finished that kind of thought. But notice the first thing Paul tells Titus to remind them of is to teach them to be subject to rulers and authorities. And this is the same thing that we're instructed to do in Romans 13, to be subject and obedient to the governing authorities over us. I think this is especially important in the political environment that we're living in today. You know, Christians above all people should be the most law-abiding people on the planet. And that's a challenging thing in a country, in a world where today rebellion and lawlessness is glorified. It really is. I mean, we have, you know, it's hard enough for a society to stay unruly, but when you have leaders at the highest levels of government that are promoting rebellion against authority, again, it only makes it harder. And we have that happening even in our nation today. You know, it's interesting, when you look at authority and or boundaries, or especially I would say the law falls like here, right? Here's the law. And then what happens is most of us, when we see the law, most of us by nature, we fall somewhere about here. So, you know, we never really quite attain to what the full law is. And I'm not calling you a law, not a law-abiding citizen. I'm saying in general, people, when they have guidelines, they fall there. And the problem is, here's what happens. When the authorities in place drop their boundary down to where we are, guess what happens? We drop as well. And if the authorities drop down to where the people are, what happens? It drops again. And there's a cycle that happens where a society will completely go down farther and farther until it's anarchy, it's chaos. And it dissolves. And so, above all, our leaders and our authorities should be the most law-abiding, the most respecting of authorities. And then we, what Paul is saying to the church is, we need to be that way as well as the leaders of our society in the things of God. That's the leaders of society and government. They have one standard. We have a higher standard. We know God. We know what his word says. We know what God expects from us. And we need to be setting the standard. And believe me, when we lower our standard, when the church lowers its standard away from the word of God, the world's going to be very quick to use that as justification and fall lower and lower and lower. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. You're what keeps people preserving things. You're the one that when you're standing there at work and somebody does something they know they shouldn't do or says something they know they shouldn't say, they'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in here. It's like, what difference does that make? Why does it matter because I'm in here? Because you're a piece of salt. And here you stand, and there stands, you know, the ham. And when that ham sees that salt, it goes, oh, I better not rot yet. I better hold on a little bit longer here, right? What happens when the salt's gone? See, when the rapture of the church takes place, it gives you an idea of how quickly society's going to go down. But here's the thing. We have to remember, we're the salt of the earth. We're the preservative. We're what's keeping everything from going off the deep end. This is why God says, the church, we've got to keep our standard in place. It's not about trying to be seem like we're more holy than others. Not some kind of attitude thing. It's more saying, look, here's what God says. Here's how we're going to live and example it to the community around us. And then as we live in that, we live with grace and mercy toward them. And they see that, and it draws them to the Lord. To subject oneself here to an authority, it means to come under the authority as a soldier would come under the commander that he has in obedience. And like a soldier to a commander, it doesn't matter whether you like the commander or not, you're still subject to them to obey them. Now think about that. What if you showed up at boot camp and the first day you got there, you said, you know what, I don't think I'm really going to do what you say. You know, you didn't impress me that much. What kind of day you think that new recruit's going to have? And what kind of 6 weeks you think he's going to have training? He's going to get raked over the coals. The bottom line is that whether you like your commander or not, you're to come under that authority. And so whatever commander God gives us, from the commander-in-chief all the way down to the mayor of Knox County, to the city commission, whatever authorities God gives us, God says this, be submissive to those authorities. Come under those authorities. But they're this and they're that, and I don't like them. He didn't say if you liked them. He said, you're an example to the world. You are the salt of the earth. If you don't do it, nobody will. And if nobody does, that's the definition of anarchy. So we above all have got to rise above and say, you know what? I need to really watch what I'm doing. Why? Again, God says it's so important that we do this as followers. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, because God is a God of law and order and authority. And when we do this, we support God's structure and God's design. It's what makes things function as designed on earth and in our societies. It's what holds things together. It gives a boundary. It gives some kind of guideline. Listen, the reason our society is so messed up today is they're turning away from the Bible. We used to be a nation that was based on the Bible. Look, and even if you weren't a believer, you knew what the Bible said, and you knew when you saw Christians, they were generally doing what's right. We knew they were sinners, but they were generally trying to live what's right based on God's word. Now that God's word is being removed in large part from our society, other than just in the church, anything goes. And when you don't have some kind of guidelines, if you don't have something to show you right and wrong, you have no hope. Again, I often use the example of a pilot. They say when they fly in clouds and hit whiteout, you don't know if you're upside down or right side up. Now, to me, that's hard to imagine that you wouldn't know. How do you not know you're upside down? But they say a plane can slowly turn and go upside down. The pilot won't even know it if it wasn't for the instruments. And the people on board wouldn't know it if it wasn't for the instruments. That's amazing to me, again, in certain jets. But what do? They look at the instruments. And they say, forget what I see around me or don't see. Here's what the instruments say. I'm going to fly by the instruments. That is the word of God. We fly by the instruments. See, so we stay on target. The world doesn't have that. The world is flying a plane with no gauges. It doesn't tell them how much gas they have. It doesn't tell them whether or not their landing gear works. It doesn't tell them their altitude. It doesn't tell them anything. They're simply flying blind all the time. And so you are the ones that have to come in their life and say, wait a minute, this is the right way. Here's what the instruments say. Here's how you stay upright. Here's how you stay on target. Here's how you will land safely. And that's our requirement. That's what God says we're supposed to do. So we have to come under our authorities in order to do that. If we're rebelling against our authorities, then we can't give an example to the world around us in that. And most importantly, when we come under our authorities, in reality, here's what we have to realize, because you might be saying right now, but I've got a really bad authority here. Or maybe I've got, you know, some leader that you're under or whatever, national all the way down to personal that you don't like. Here's the thing. Note this. When you come under that authority, it's not that authority you're really coming under and obeying. Who is it? Yeah, it's the Lord. Why? Because God is the one that has them there. Well, God wouldn't put somebody ungodly in position. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. He was cutting people up in little pieces. And God says in his word, you're my servant. I put you there. Now, I'm not going to try to explain all the reasons why. God knows what he's doing. God just says, you come under those authorities. I'm the one putting them there, the good and the bad. The righteous and the unrighteous. I'm controlling it. All authorities have been appointed by God, Romans 13. So our job is to come under those authorities up to the point of disobeying the word of God. We don't do that. If there's something with the obedience to the word of God, we don't disobey the word of God. But at the same time, it's ultimately God we're obeying. God's not going to go up there and ask us, hey, did you do what your mayor said? God's going to say, hey, did you obey me? And by the way that we conduct ourselves, with our city and with those officials and everyone else that God puts over us, we're basically being obedient to the Lord. So our obedience to earthly authorities is in reality showing obedience to God. The word rulers here, it speaks of those in power. And the authorities here speaks of those delegated authority under them. So he says, look, come under those that are in that position and then come under those that have been appointed by them. So it works both ways. It's the whole echelon from top to bottom. And lastly, notice Paul says we're not only to be subject to the worldly authorities, but at the same time, we're reminded and to be ready, always looking for ways that we can do good works for society. Let me say this before we even go on to the good works. Listen, we all struggle with authorities. I've struggled with them in my life as well. But I think the freedom is understanding that it's ultimately the Lord that you're serving. That's where the freedom comes in. And so he says here again in this verse, he says, be subject to the worldly authorities and be reminded and ready, always looking, notice there at the end of the verse, to be ready for good works. He says that is, we're to be, for every good work is the way that Paul says it here. Paul's not promoting good works as though that's something we have to do to earn anything before God and man, but we're to do them in service of God and man. So as a Christian, we're a witness to the world around us. See, we all know we should be doing good works in the name of the Lord, but as time goes by, it's very easy to get lazy and complacent in the things of the Lord. And what Paul says is, church, make sure you maintain good works. Make sure you're doing it not to earn something, but simply as a testimony and because it's the right thing to do. God wants you to be ministering to others. If we as a church don't look for opportunities to go into our community and do things, it'd be very easy to get fat and happy and just sit back and do nothing. Complacency can set in very quickly and very easily. Not just in a church, but in individuals. So this is a message for us as a church, but a message for you as an individual. You know, it's interesting when you look from the air at a map of Israel and you see the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. When you go there, you see all the fishing boats and everybody doing their fishing off. It's a wonderfully fresh, teeming with life lake. But then you go down, follow the Jordan River on down to the one at the end called the Dead Sea, and that's what it is. It is dead. There's not a single fish in the thing. There's no life in it. Why? Because it's totally tainted by all the minerals, and there's a reason that that has happened. Again, if you notice in the Sea of Galilee, it has two things. It has an inlet and it has an outlet. And as you follow on down to the Dead Sea, it only has an inlet. And God, I think, has given us a picture of what the Christian life should be, even in the way he's laid out the land of Israel. If you're taking in every day, reading the Word of God, coming to church, hearing the Bible, you've got a great fresh flow of the Jordan River flowing into you every day. God is just ministering. Oh, this one, Lord, I love it. It's teeming with life. This is great. But on the other side, you're giving it out. It's flowing out the other side. It keeps everything fresh. It keeps everything alive. But if you're simply receiving and receiving and receiving, and there's no outflow on the other side, it leads to deadness. Deadness spiritually. And so, again, we have to make sure that we're giving out and we have to make sure that we're serving, doing good works. Again, not just because it's the right thing to do and helps others in need, but it demonstrates the love and heart of God for mankind. And hence, it's a testimony of God's heart for the world. And this is the very reason, again, as I said, that we want to make sure we maintain those good works on a corporate level and individually. And so we see Paul not only encouraging Titus to set the church in order, which is the main theme of Titus, he's now encouraging Titus to teach the church to set the surrounding society in order as well by their lifestyle. Say, look, you live this way among the world. You come under your governing authorities. They're going to say, you know, those Christians, they do the right thing. We may not agree with them, but they do the right thing. And so he says in verse 2, notice here he goes on with reminders of what we're to do next. He says, to speak evil of no one. We could speak on that one all day by itself. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now, what is the next thing we're to be reminded of? Notice, as I already pointed out, to speak evil of no one. The word here, evil, is the word blasphemo. It's where we get blaspheme, which means to revile or slander or to speak against someone to harm their reputation. Which means the next thing we're to do as believers is watch our tongues. Watch our tongues. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, I heard how one pastor said it. He said, it's interesting that God put the tongue behind a row of teeth that closed like a cage, you know. Guard it. Be aware of it. David said in the Psalms, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. You know, I could probably pray with David and say, Lord, put a clamp on it. Because oftentimes I find my tongue saying things that it shouldn't be saying. And it's interesting here in light of that, especially in the context, while Paul says this applies to all men, I find it interesting he begins with our governing authorities. And probably because that's one of the easiest and most tempting areas that we can sin with our tongue. It's so easy to fall into. More than once, I've had to ask God to forgive me of speaking out of turn when it comes to one of our governing authorities that I disagree with. And then the Holy Spirit has to remind me, Mark, you need to repent. You need to repent. Guard your mouth. Now, let me give this a balance. It doesn't mean that we can't call evil evil and declare wrong wrong and make a verbal stand for what's right. We're called to do that as the church. We're called to do that as believers. We have to speak up. If we don't speak up, who's going to? We're commanded to speak up. We see this great example in John the Baptist. In his day, not the king, but the tetrarch, like a king, but really a tetrarch, great authority over that region. Herod, which is where John the Baptist was under, there were different Herods. This was one of his sons, not Herod the Great, but a different Herod. He was under his authority, and Herod, everyone knew that Herod was in adultery. Everyone knew that he'd taken his brother's wife, and there asking John about it, saying, John, what's right, what's wrong? Well, John didn't say, well, look, I can't really address that because I'm not supposed to speak evil against any authority. John said the truth. He said, Herod needs to repent. He said, Herod's in sin. This is adultery. Herod needs to repent and give his life to Christ. He was John the Baptist. He's preaching the gospel. That wasn't sinful. So calling wrong wrong and sin sin and saying what the right thing is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about saying things that are just name calling, if you will. It'd be like if John the Baptist said, well, that, you know, whatever, that no good for nothing, dirty double crossing Herod or whatever. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Just deal with the issue and do it the right way. It's not that we don't do it, but here's the key, guys. We have to do it the right way. Pray for wisdom to speak about what's right in the right way. And we have to make sure we simply don't engage in name calling or disrespect, because if we do, again, we're giving a bad example to the society around us. And if we're supposed to be the ones leading in the way of respecting those authorities in our life, what's the world going to do if we don't? And if the salt's not doing it, then they're certainly not going to. I wonder how much less we would say. Think about this. How much less would you say, how much less would I say, if we never said anything bad about anyone? How many whiteouts would be in our day? If we look at our day's roster of what we spoke, what I mean whiteout sections would be your black lines through it, if you just took them out, of things we said that were not good about people. And so we have to guard ourselves very closely. I think about social media, and I think it'd be very easy to get pulled into that. I wonder how much less social media we would pass along and we might even comment on if we never said anything bad. These are challenging things, things that are supposed to challenge our heart. And remember, when you're out there on social media, it's like the fish on the back of the car. You're saying to everyone, I follow Jesus, and it puts a little bit higher accountability. I mean, it might be good, and go out there, and sometimes I'm thinking, maybe I should just pop that guy off. I did something the other day, I was driving, and I said, oh, why'd I do that? Yeah, well, they don't know me. Oh, there's a fish on the back. And I'm thinking, what do you do at that point? When you get home, you get a screwdriver and go, no. I didn't. I forgot about it, but I probably should. Really, what I should do is just repent. Could just pop the fish off and keep sinning. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We have to be so aware. Everybody's watching you on social media. They see your Jesus posts. And then what we say after that, they pay attention to. It makes a witness. It makes a testimony. Be aware of it. Listen, we're not perfect, but be aware. Paul's saying, come on, church, be aware. The world's not going to do this. You've got to.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're in the book of Titus, and it's always interesting to learn more about these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends and companions. Titus was one of those who Paul mentored. Titus even accompanied Paul on one of the three missionary journeys. So there's a lot of relationship these two had. It's obvious that Paul held Titus in high regard as he praised him for his affection, earnestness, and ability to bring comfort to others. Wouldn't that be something to be spoken of with such high praises? Part of why we're here is to be in relationship with others and to remind people of the type of love and compassion Jesus shows. Titus was an exemplary person in this way. If today's teaching has sparked some questions that you just can't wait to get answered, we'd love to speak with you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. It would be wonderful to be in relationship with you and have a conversation about what you've heard. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, Come join us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We'd be so happy to meet you in person. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. You'll notice a Calvary Knoxville tab at the top of the page. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Titus. Please make a point to join us next time, as there's much more to learn in this New Testament book here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.